Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, a live version of David Bowie's Heroes, right here on Coleman's Independent Radio. We are Live 95. That song today, well, that's kind of going out to our good buddy Tim Collins, who passed away unexpectedly and suddenly over the weekend. Lots of heroes came through town today in respect of Tim Collins. I was in that processional at lunch going back to my day job, and I think you guys did a great job organizing that and respecting a guy who did quite a bit for our community. He was around doing Coleman Today for about as long as we've been on the air, which is a little bit over 4 years. So kudos to you, Tim Collins. You will be missed. 4 o'clock on a Tuesday. I think the sun's passing close to the earth now or something. It's like 97 degrees outside. The official amount right now, our temperature is 92, according to our studio things in here. At 4 o'clock each and every Tuesday, we bring to or every Thursday, rather, we bring you Sports Talk Live. Typically, it's Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes, but Jason sent me a message a little earlier, said he was extremely busy today, and that Ronnie was extremely busy enjoying the beach. So we wrapped a couple of messages out to our guys and present to you one of our newest voices here on Live 95. You can also catch him on Prep Sports Live every now and then on Tuesdays and a lot of times on Friday nights doing football. It's Chris Greer. Thanks for coming in, Chris.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here on Sports Talk Live on 95.5. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. And to anyone out there who's listening who would like to get involved with the conversation, our phone line is at 256-737-9505. If you know sports or just think you know sports, by all means, call in and we're going to talk a little bit about it. Today, we're going to be heavy into college football. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on at the local scene in football in high school. But we're going to start out with the SEC. Let's kind of recap where what happened last week.
Otherwise known as the best conference in the land, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it. And the record proves what you just said. Starting out, we're going to start with a team that everybody's been talking about. And my favorite team, the Alabama Crimson Tide, number one in the country. Their quarterback is definitely in the Heisman hunt. This last week, they dismantled the Ole Miss Landshark, Bear, Rebels, whatever you wish to call them. They've had about three different names. 62-7. The Ole Miss wide receiver core is playfully calling themselves the NWO, which is a play on the old WCW New World Order for those pro wrestling fans out there. But I believe it stood for no wide receiver open. After that first touchdown that happened early in the game, Alabama just shut them down. And we're going to get more in depth with that game later on. Moving on down the line a little bit, you had a heartbreaker. It certainly surprised me. It surprised a lot of other people. Number 7, Auburn, got knocked off by number 12, LSU. And LSU, to me, is a gutsy, gutsy little football team. I have always been a big fan of Ed Ogeron. Not just because he talks like the football coach off of the Waterboy movie, which he does, but the man is a good football coach. People buy into his systems, and people buy in to what he's selling. And the LSU Tigers are proving that they are no flash in the pan. They're proving that they're a legit team in the SEC West. Knocking off the Auburn Tigers 22-21, I did not see that coming. I picked that game three different times. Each time I gave a score 24-10 or 24-14, Auburn. I thought for sure that Jared Stidham would be the difference in that ball game, and LSU proved me and everyone else wrong. Both of those teams have a very strong defense. Both were tied for the SEC lead in sacks. But for whatever reason, LSU hung around and hung around and hung around, and pretty soon Auburn wasn't going to be around because LSU kicked that last-second field goal to take it home. That's another game we're going to get in depth with here in just a little while. You've got a lot of games that were cupcake games. We're getting into the meat of the schedule this upcoming week. But you had some upsets. You had some games that surprised both me and anyone else who was watching. One of those was out west with Texas taking on USC. Now, USC was number 22 in the country as of last week. I am one of the people that believes the Pac-10 is almost always, always overrated. This proved to be true this week because USC went down to Texas 37-14. Now, nobody expected that, myself included. I thought for sure USC would probably be up by at least a touchdown, maybe two, over Texas. But Texas proved that they had a little bit more fight left in them, and they knocked off the Trojans by a lopsided score. The next game we would talk a little bit about is a team that I personally don't really care for all that much, and that's the number four, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State, their head coach has been suspended. We're not going to get into that. I believe I've talked enough about that earlier on this year. But their head coach was suspended. They go to play TCU, number 15 in the country. It was a close game. Ohio State pulls it out at the end, 40-28. Personally, I was hoping that TCU might knock off the Buckeyes. It just didn't happen. When we're going to go south from there down to Mississippi State, where the Mississippi State Bulldogs have started to build a pretty good program down in Mississippi. They knocked off Louisiana 56-10. Alabama will be seeing them soon, and that is a game that I will actually be personally attending. Another game that I really kind of enjoyed just for my own personal pleasure was number 17, Boise State, got knocked off by number 24, Oklahoma State, 44-21. To me, Boise is a team that is almost always overranked. I am not a fan of the Mountain West Conference. I believe that they were ranked way, way too high, and the game this last week showed it. One of the only teams Boise will play on its schedule knocks them off by, 23 points by three touchdowns and then some. Moving on down, another surprise that happened last week. Number 25, BYU, goes into Wisconsin, ranked number 6. Knocks him off by a field goal, 24-21. Another story in this game, one of the Heisman hopefuls is a running back from Wisconsin. This young man has been leading that team. Jonathan Taylor had been running up some gaudy statistics. BYU held him in check. They held him to about 115 yards on the ground, and not just knocked off Wisconsin, possibly ending their hopes of the playoffs, but maybe ending his hopes for the Heisman as well. The Vanderbilt Commodores went to Notre Dame, number 8 Notre Dame, and almost took a win. Notre Dame beats Vanderbilt 22-17. What is significant about this game is the fact that Vanderbilt was able to go into a top 10 team and take it to them and almost knock them off. So we've moved down to Notre Dame. Now let's keep going down to Oklahoma. We're going to keep talking about some players who are in the Heisman hunt. And one of those is a quarterback of Oklahoma, Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray was drafted in the first round by the Oakland A's and has announced that he will be playing professional baseball after this season. Until that time, he is putting up some numbers that's making people forget about Baker Mayfield. Oklahoma knocks off Iowa State 37-27. I look to see this young man possibly move up to the top two, maybe top three in the Heisman hunt. Further on down the line, the surprise of the week to me, the game that shocked me and I think shocked a lot of other people as well, was Troy State knocking off Nebraska. How many times have we seen the Troy State team go into a team like LSU or Nebraska, pull out a win that nobody expected, myself included? I watched the game. Troy State was impressive. I would say keep an eye on this team. They're definitely in the running to win the Sun Belt Conference. I would expect them to actually win it. Looking at their schedule, let me pull up that schedule for Troy State. Just bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. I left my secretary at home, and when my wife hears that, I'll pay for it when I get home. Troy State knocked off Nebraska. Next, we've got Louisiana Monroe for Troy State. Then they play Colorado. Then they're going to play Georgia State, Liberty, South Alabama, Louisiana, Georgia Southern, Texas State, and App State. We could see Troy State University run the table from here on out. And from a personal standpoint, I love seeing an underdog team like that that's going to do so well. They've already had a great season, and it's only going to get better from here on out. I think right now we're going to move on to the Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama is my team. I am a Crimson Tide fan, born and bred, have been since I was probably 3-4 years old. I can say with certainty, this is the best quarterback I have ever seen put on a crimson uniform. We have never seen a quarterback at the University of Alabama where you say, I think this guy could go in the first round. Tua is that player. This young man is special. I have never seen a quarterback wearing the crimson uniform who looks like one of these gunslinger quarterbacks you would expect to see at an Oklahoma or a Miami or an Ohio State. But Tua is all of that and more. His escapability, his ability to make the completion on third down. He is 18 for 18 so far on third downs this year. That is just sick numbers for a quarterback. I've never seen someone who could dominate at the collegiate level the way that this young man has. He's like Johnny Manziel 2.0 with a little bit of Cam Newton and Baker Mayfield thrown in. He can make every throw on the field. His escapability will extend plays, but rather than do what Jalen Hurts has done through his successful career at Alabama, when his legs escape the sack, when his legs escape the tackle, he's looking to make the play downfield. Because of that, you're seeing a young group of wide receivers from the University of Alabama who are going to put up some fantastic numbers this year. And something to think about as well. When you look at Nick Saban's teams in the last few years, usually there's one wide receiver who takes the lion's share of the receptions. First it was Julio Jones, then it was Amari Cooper, then it was Calvin Ridley. And this year you're seeing Tua spread that ball to almost all the wide receivers evenly. Nobody is getting 70% of the receptions. It's almost a dead split between them, and that makes that team stronger. Alabama's defense, to me, has also been a story this year. Everyone heard at the start of the year that Alabama's offense was going to be very good, but they were worried about the Alabama defense. They were worried about the young secondary. They were worried about the depth. And all of these were legitimate concerns. But Alabama right now is ranked number 8th in the country in total points allowed. Alabama, under Nick Saban, is almost always in the top 10 in total defense. Right now, they're about number 8. And this is a defense that was supposed to be down. A defense that no one expected to actually step up and be one of the top defenses in the SEC. But that's exactly what we have down at the Capstone right now. And this defense will be tested this next week against Texas A&M when Texas A&M comes into Tuscaloosa. Jimbo Fisher has always put a good offensive product on the field, and this year is no different. The Texas A&M Aggies have a stellar offense, good wide receivers, and a quarterback of the type that Alabama traditionally has problems with. He can make plays with his feet. He can make plays with his arm. And he has a core group of wide receivers who can stretch the field and will be a test for the young cornerbacks and safeties that we have down at Tuscaloosa. I would have to pick the game this week. I'm going to say Alabama is going to continue to score points. It will be in the 50s. I'm going to say Alabama's 52 to 24 for Texas A&M. Now, continuing on talking about the defense of the Crimson Tide, let's talk a little bit more about that secondary. The good thing about this secondary, besides how they're starting to gel, Patrick Surtain's son, you know, came in this last week. Oh, I've got a guest coming in. Come on in. I've got somebody who's going to join me. This is Mr. Steve Kinnamer. Steve, grab you some headphones. We're talking a little bit about the Alabama offense, Steve, and the Alabama defense. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Steve is a good friend of mine. He also knows football both from a coaching standpoint, from a playing standpoint, and he's a pretty good musician as well. Just don't tell him I said so. We're talking a little bit about the Alabama defense. Let's talk some about the secondary. This secondary has surprised me this year. I was not expecting them to play at the level that they're playing. Would you agree or disagree?
The verdict's still out for me because we haven't played anybody that's really tested them yet.
Right.
But we'll find that out Saturday. When they played Ole Miss, you know, they never really got tested because the quarterback didn't have a whole lot of time to do much.
No.
So, this week, I think it's going to tell the tale what we got.
I think you're right. And kudos to the defensive line in that Ole Miss game because they were rushing four people. Mm-hmm. You know, they were not bringing a lot of blitzes. They're bringing four people to get heat with just the defensive line, and they were on that quarterback all game long.
Well, he definitely he was running a lot, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was running for his life.
He did not have time to go through his checkdowns. He didn't have a lot of time to do much of anything.
No, he did not.
So, but I imagine Coach Saban lit him up after that first play from scrimmage, and that probably had a lot to do with it.
It probably did. I noticed Saban actually smiled a little bit when he came off the field and they interviewed him. And usually I like to watch those interviews just so I can see Saban bite the heads off of whoever asked him a really dumb question on the way off of the field. But – yeah, I think he was happy. I forget who it was that tweeted out. I believe it was one of the defensive backs. You know, that Ole Miss wide receiving group calls himself the NWO. And one of the cornerbacks tweeted out that stood this week for no wide receiver open. And that was a story all game long.
Well, yeah, to add to what you're saying there, even if he had time, our young guys on the back end did a really good job.
Yes.
Doing the blanket coverage, because you know how Saban coaches, you know, it's man on man.
Yep.
And for the most part, every time I got a chance to see it, their guys were covered and covered well. This could be probably the best back end we've had at Alabama since Saban's been there as these guys grow and mature together and gel together.
They're all young.
Mm-hmm.
They're all young. There's no upperclassmen in this group. They're all, I think, we've got freshmen, sophomores, maybe one junior.
I think two juniors.
Is it two juniors? Mm-hmm. You know, when I look at this group and I think about the future at Alabama, it looks bright on defense because this is a young team that has already – they're probably one of the top units in the country. All in all, this might be the best Alabama team I've ever seen on a football field.
There again, I'm gonna hold that reservation for the moment.
Sure.
Because Jimbo Fisher's squad, I think, is gonna give us a little bit more to talk about. Everything I've seen so far, I love, but nobody's challenged them yet. Let's see what they got when their back's up against the wall. Let's see what they got when somebody's putting the heat on them.
Right. Well, and to me personally, I'd like to see Tua play more than a half. You know, he's put up gaudy numbers and gaudy statistics, but he hasn't even finished a half of a football game.
Why take the chance on getting him hurt when you don't need to?
Absolutely.
We've got Jalen.
We do. Who has played well this year. He's played
probably the best,
much better.
Best playing time I've seen was last week out of Jalen.
Yes.
Throwing the ball.
He was accurate. Mm-hmm. He was making hard throws. And what was so encouraging to me, he was doing, two, three checkdowns. And usually Jalen, you know, what we've seen in the past, he'll look at his primary receiver and then he tucks it and runs.
Yes. What's number three quarterback? Mac Jones?
Mac Jones,
yeah.
Yes.
I think there's a real bright future with him as backup, too. You know, he's still doing mop-up, but when he does get to drop back and throw the ball.
He looks good.
He looks pretty good.
He does.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you're talking about a team that has a backup quarterback whose record is what, 26-2?
26-2, that's correct.
You know, for his career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most teams in this country would be overjoyed to have Jalen Hurts. You know, and for us, he's a second quarterback. He's a luxury.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, depending on how this goes, if he goes into the fifth game, then he's only going to have 1 year of eligibility. If they cut him off at four, it's going to give him two.
Right.
And Jalen would fit very well with Dan Mullins at Florida.
He would.
With what Dan Mullen likes to do.
He would.
There's a lot of places Jalen could fit very well. Where they're not necessarily a pass happy team,
right? You know, the Jalen from last year. If we could rewind what you just said to 3-4 months ago, and you would have said that to me, I would say that would be a huge mistake because Jalen would be exposed. He's always been surrounded by exceptional talent at the University of Alabama. I didn't think that he could make the reads to play quarterback at this level. You know, and to excel. You know, he played within himself. He played within his system, and he was good at it. But they needed somebody to take that next step. And Tua came in and did that, but now I'm looking at Jalen Hurts, and I'm not so sure that he couldn't play quarterback at a very high level. Because
there's no doubt he could. Yeah, he could. Yeah, he could play. He could keep playing at Alabama. But I still seen Jalen, if not.
Go to break.
Okay, well, if number one and number two's not there, he still wants to run.
That's it. I believe we're going to take a break here on Sports Talk Live. We'll be back in just a few minutes on 95.5 Coleman's only independent FM station.
Gateway Mortgage is proud to support Colvin County High School football. After all, supporting your community and giving back is what it's all about. Gateway Mortgage is a big lender with the ability to service your loan, but they're all about community and personal service. Josh Phillips, branch manager, says because of their Christian values, you can expect a culture that's different from banks and even other lenders. Those are the kind of characteristics you want from a personal mortgage team working to get you into a new home or your next home. You can reach Josh Phillips, Cameron Kimbrough, or Zeb Smith at Gateway Mortgage, 256-690-5617, 256-690-5617. Gateway Mortgage, NMLS number 338177, Equal Housing Lender. Happy Homes Real Estate is proud to sponsor Friday Night Live on Live 95. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you today. After all, they're the top producing agency in Coleman. And I bet if you ride around town this weekend, you'll see open house signs all over Coleman for Happy Homes Real Estate. For property management, buying, or selling a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you. Happy Homes Real Estate, where they believe every home should be a happy home. Live 95 is your home for Friday Night Live.
As they fake it, they fake it. And he's going to get the first down, and then some. No, he's going to break all the way, and he'll be pushed out of bounds at the Mortimer Jordan 30-yard line. That was number 5, Jimmy Charlie.
Each week, Friday Night Live features the best in Coleman County High School football.
And he's going to throw, heaves it out to 27.
Oh, he got it.
Coleman touchdown.
He's going to sneak it in.
Number 27, Ezra Burks. How about that one?
This week, the Good Hope Raiders look to remain undefeated as they host the Oak Grove Tigers in a key 4A Region 5 battle. Join Dylan Diebert and Josh Lawler every Friday night for Friday Night Live. Listen live every Friday night here on Live 95 or tune in anywhere in the world via the TuneIn Radio app. Just search WRJMLP Coleman or stream at www.live95coleman.com. Friday Night Live, this Friday night here on Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over.
we uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Cullman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Cullman area and most Cullman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. This is Christopher Greer. I am joined by Steve Kinnemer and somebody who used to play in a band with me a long, long time ago, Mr. Matthew Kinnemer, who, what was your nickname again? Thumper. That was it. I remember two excellent drummers, both of them big football fans, and they know what they're talking about. We were talking about the play of Jalen Hurts and some of the things we've been seeing from the University of Alabama. Let's talk a little bit about the big guys. Let's talk a little bit about the offensive line. You know, I have seen, it seems like the pass protection has been there, but I'm not seeing as many big holes for the running game.
I think they're still gelling. I don't think they found their niche as a unit yet.
I think you're right.
They're all exceptional athletes. They all know their job. They're good at it. But there again, to work as one or as a unit, it takes a little time.
They're not a unit yet. I have to agree with everything that you're saying. You know, you're talking five-star recruit after five-star mm-hmm. recruit, but they haven't really, you know, gotten together yet. And when they do, and that running game, which the running game's been putting up good yardage totals, but when that running game really starts to click, mm-hmm. how high could this offense go?
Oh, sky's the limit. Kirk Herbstreit, I don't know if you've heard the comment he made. He made the comment at the start of the season that he felt sorry for anybody that had to go play Alabama this year with Tua pulling
right.
the trigger. You know, our center has moved over. You guys have to forgive me, but he's moved from one of the guard positions.
Yeah, Pierce Baker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pierce Baker or something, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's still figuring out, you know, getting the right calls made, getting the right protections in, you know, and we got some young guys on the line too. But as they gel together as a unit, when they become the unit, that's
gonna
when
be
the
scary.
Well-oiled machine is going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, we've got Jonah Williams playing left tackle. A lot of people, myself included, think he's going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft this upcoming year, unless something happens. The heir apparent is playing right tackle, and that's Alex Leatherwood. And he is a scary offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. He reminds me a lot of Jonah Williams, but with a mean streak. You know, he's not afraid to maybe punch you in the throat if he gets a chance to.
And you can tell he's got some nasty in him.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of nasty in him. And and as a former player and somebody who's coached just like you have, you know, I kind of like seeing that from an offensive lineman.
I like nasty in the trenches.
Right, right. You know, because you need that. That's where the game's won and lost.
Mm-hmm.
I talked a little bit about this before you came in, but I wanted to get your take on it. Traditionally, with a Nick Saban team, we've seen one wide receiver get the lion's share of the receptions. We've seen Julio Jones, who, you know, was the man at Alabama. Then he went on to be such success in the NFL.
And then there was Calvin Ridley, and now they are together in Atlanta.
Right. You had Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Oakland is.
He's at Oakland now. Mm-hmm. Ridley's back at Alabama, starting to kind of come on, you know, this season. He had an excellent game this last week for the Falcons. But you're not seeing that one guy at Alabama this year. It's spread almost dead evenly amongst all the wide receivers.
Well, the ball is getting distributed around a bunch, that is for sure. But Judy?
Oh, he is
– Judy is the man.
He is a future first-round draft choice, I would say, without a doubt. But they've got so many other talented wide receivers, and they're all getting the ball.
And they're deep. They're deep.
At wide they're 4 or 5 deep.
Oh yeah, they're deep. Yeah, they're deep. And our backs are really good when they go out as receivers. They're really good. They have good hands as well as running the ball.
Well, you're starting to see also in the backfield. I noticed it this week. I call them the law firm of Harris and Harris, but you saw Najee Harris and you saw Jacobs in the backfield at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be a nightmare for a defensive coordinator because both of them are excellent pass blockers, which is something Nick Saban really teaches his running backs. And both of them are excellent receivers.
If you're going to be running back for Nick Saban, you will block.
Absolutely.
If you can't get your blocking assignments down, you won't be running the football.
Well, that's why Derrick Henry didn't play.